All right, back here for hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK live from the Mullet Open at Hyatt's Lost Pines, playing on the Wolf Dancer Golf Course here in just a little bit. I think the tee times begin right when our show ends. Is that correct, BK?
Yeah, unfortunate timing for all the people out here just begging for us to get off the stage, man.
Yeah, people grubbing on Rudy's right now. They're one of the great sponsors out here today, as well as Golden Chick, Cavender's Academy, Plains Capital, Callaway Golf, Tito's, of course. Tito's does a great job, not just with the Mullet Open, but also with the station and Austin Institution. By the way, Tito's, they're known worldwide.
Yeah.
They've not only won the tasting competitions, it's one of the most popular vodkas that exists, period. I don't care where you are. I'm going to Chicago, drink up, tomorrow through next Saturday, and Tito's is all over the place in that city, too.
Tito's is wild, man. I've always got a bottle of Tito's at my place. It's good stuff, and they're great sponsors. They are the... they're the title sponsor for this event, the Mullet Open. There's just bottles of Tito's all over the place. It's, I got to try to sneak one or two of these at some point today so I can get a little something going while I'm in the lazy river laughing at all these jokers playing golf in 100-degree weather, man. I'm going to be having a great time today.
All right. I'm having to deal with racially insensitive white people on the Specs text line right now.
No.
People are calling me a liberal wussy. How many countless lives have been marred by the Washington mascot? What a crock. Somebody else says multiple surveys have been done. No Indians even care about the Redskins' name. Only snowflake white guys do. That's fine if you want to say that. Just know that you're choosing to allow yourself to be brainwashed by nonsense.
You're getting called
nonsensical research.
You're getting called snowflake and millennial today. You're all right.
Liberal.
I mean, you're going on vacation for a week, so you can stomach this because you're not going to have to deal with these jokers for a while.
I love how somebody trying to criticize me by labeling me a political term just shows how close-minded they are in the process. I'm not conservative or liberal. I'm an independent thinker. Guys, and if the tables were turned and what you're calling is a red skin, you were calling a black skin, a yellow skin, a brown skin, that would be considered highly insensitive. Just because that's been the name of the mascot for a long time doesn't make it correct. It's garbage. And all it does is feed into a racist mindset, which is what you're engaging in by continuing to say there is no problem with this. There is a huge problem with this. I'm sorry, there is.
It's Friday, man.
I'm pissed right now.
Line up. It's Friday. Come on. We're out amongst the people. They're looking at you like you're an idiot. Come on.
People aren't looking at me like I'm an idiot. I'm somebody who has something to say. We share opinions on this show. That's the way it goes.
All right. Can we talk about some other stuff?
Shut up, Trey. Racist my ass.
Yeah, whatever. Yep. All right, we're moving on. We're talking some NBA right now. We're waiting on, hopefully, Ricky Williams to be here before the hour. He's on Ricky time, man. We know how that works. But
no doubt.
NBA news regarding... really, you know, a couple of the Texas teams and a lifetime Texas Longhorn will start up in Big D Dallas. Dirk Nowitzki re-signing with the Mavs. No big shock there.
2 years, $20 million, team option for the second year.
$10 million. Dirk's taking zero money, man.
Oh, it's $5 million a year. $10 million. I thought it was $10 million a season.
No,
wow,
that's the kind of guy Dirk is. As loyal as they come, he's going to be the second player in the history of the NBA to play at least 20 years with one franchise. Kobe Bryant being the other one. Look, the Mavs are clearly not in the title chase right now. Dirk could do what everybody else seemingly does and still contribute to a title team. Now, he's not the same Dirk who won MVP and, you know, won finals MVP, whatever, but he's still good enough to make some things happen for a team that is contending for a title. And Dirk just having the keys to the city of Dallas, being the man out there, just Dirk is Dallas. And Dallas is Dirk. He decides to stay, taking way less money. He opted out of a one-year deal that was going to pay him $25 million. Instead, he goes 2 for $5 million a year. That's just the kind of guy he is. Those dudes are a lost art in today's NBA. You guys like Kevin Durant going title chasing. Instead of trying to stay in one place and win it there, we'll probably see guys like Russell Westbrook do the same thing after this year. It is a lost art in the sport of basketball, and really in a lot of sports in general. So tip of the cap to Dirk Nowitzki for sticking in Big D for two more years.
Although Dirk won't want this, I really hope he announces when he's going to play his final season so the NBA can give him a proper send-off.
Yeah.
Much like you have seen in baseball the last few years with the Derek Jeters and Mariano Rivera's retiring. That's not Dirk's style, though. Dirk doesn't like to call attention to himself like that, but good on the franchise, good on the sport of basketball to have somebody that stays with one team for their entire career. I love to see that regardless of the sport.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview with Dirk recently on a radio station up in Dallas, and they did ask him that question, you know, will you announce when it's going to be your final season or even midway through the season so fans can come out and make plans to go see you? And he's like, Probably not.
Maybe it's not a style.
Right, not a style. It's like Tim Duncan. You know, Tim Duncan didn't do that. He didn't want the farewell type tour.
No.
That's ridiculous. What Derek Jeter got, what Mariano Rivera got, just ridiculously. And Big Poppy last year, so over the top, so unnecessary. Every team gives these
dudes. And
that's
Poppy's personality,
too. I mean, come on. You got the Texas Rangers giving Derek Jeter, who was part of, you know, those 90s teams that beat the Rangers in the playoffs. I mean, hell, the Rangers could never get past the Yankees until 2010. You got the Rangers, like, giving him custom boots, a picture signed by George W. Bush. Like, come on. This is like your enemy. You don't be giving guys stuff like this just because they're dudes.
Yeah, you know.
Ridiculous.
In the end, it's just a sport.
Yeah, but I mean,
you got a surfboard in San Diego.
For what? What do you do in San Diego? He didn't do anything for San Diego.
They're just commemorating the final season and showing the love for all that he did for the sport.
I'm glad Dirk is not that type of guy. Yeah, it's like Tim Duncan and Dirk are not that type of guy because that's ridiculous. I'm glad they see that that's over the top. That's just unnecessary. You don't need that crap. The league doesn't need that stuff. Come on.
I wish that Derek Jeter, in return for all those teams giving him whatever they did in Texas, of course, it's always the cliched thing. So in Texas, it was cowboy boots, cowboy hats, and barbecue.
Something like
San
that.
Diego, it's a surfboard.
Didn't Boston give him something? Like, come on. The Red Sox?
I believe Boston gave him a crate.
What it should have been.
A crate of tea and an American flag or something. I have no idea. But I really wish in return Derek Jeter would have given each of those franchises one of the Derek Jeter one-night stand gift baskets. You know?
Yeah, right. He's got the non-disclosure agreement with the little gift baskets.
Signed baseball, maybe a not an actual replica jersey, but maybe a T-shirtsy that has Derek Jeter's number on it, maybe tickets to a Yankees game or something.
That is ridiculous. Over the top. So you've got that news with Dirk. The San Antonio Spurs, speaking of the Spurs, signing Rudy Gay. 2 years for about $17 million and change. Rudy Gay played only 30 games last year with the Sacramento Kings. He tore his Achilles midway through the season. Really wanted to get out of Sacramento. He made it pretty vocal near the end of his time in Sactown. Wanted to get out of there. He was in between, reportedly, San Antonio, Golden State, and Oklahoma City, which means I think he's open to taking a little bit of a bench role because he's a small forward. Of course, all three of those teams have elite small forwards with Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio, Kevin Durant in Golden State, and now Paul George in Oklahoma City. So Rudy Gay kind of showing that he wants to join a winning team. He hasn't made the playoffs in his last 6 years. He's been on some pretty crappy teams, for lack of a better term. He decides to sign with San Antonio. And I agree. I think this is they're not paying him a whole lot of money. Rudy Gay averages 18 points a game in his career. The question mark, can he stay healthy? But if he can't stay healthy, Rudy Gay can give you a lot on both sides of the ball if you're the San Antonio Spurs.
And what it does for San Antonio also, it allows LaMarcus Aldridge to possibly become a third option at times. And I think that even though he's shown the ability to step up in moments, more often than not, that has not been the case. And that's because too much was forced on him, especially once Kawhi Leonard went out with that injury. Now you have another guy who can put the ball in the bucket, somebody who likes to do so and likes that spotlight as well. This will serve the Spurs well for the next 2 years, like you said, assuming he and Kawhi Leonard and even LaMarcus Aldridge to a lesser degree can stay healthy.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge, man, once Kawhi Leonard got hurt in the playoffs, he didn't step up at all. He's not the same LaMarcus Aldridge we saw in Portland, whether it's the system that doesn't fit well with him down in San Antonio, whether he's just getting a little bit older, his game's not the same, it hasn't quite worked out. But for Rudy Gay, it's kind of a San Antonio, in my opinion, accepting the small ball game, which the NBA has gone to. I mean, everybody knows the death lineup that the Warriors have, where they put Draymond Green at the center with Steph and Clay and Iguodala and Kevin Durant. I mean, nobody could stop that. No one has big men who can go out and defend the perimeter and defend Draymond Green out there. It just doesn't happen. So San Antonio right now, the only big man they have on the roster is LaMarcus Aldridge. Everybody expects them to re-sign Pau Gasol after he opted out of his deal, but I think Dwayne Dedman's going to go, and I think it's just San Antonio saying, look, we might try a little bit of a smaller lineup with Patty Mills, with Kawhi, Jonathan Simmons, should they re-sign him, Rudy Gay, and LaMarcus Aldridge, those five on the floor at the same time. Of course, still waiting to see what happens with Manu Ginobili, whether or not he comes back to the Spurs. Tony Parker's going to be missing much of the season, but for San Antonio, I agree. I mean, I assume Rudy Gay is going to come off the bench. But I would expect in fourth quarters and late game situations, Rudy Gay's hit a ton of clutch shots in his NBA career. I would expect that to continue. And I think he's only 30 years old, Trey. It feels like Rudy Gay's been in the league for 15 years.
This is the second best pickup of free agency so far after Gordon Hayward.
Wow.
It is.
You think so?
Yes. Bigger than Paul George in my mind.
Okay. I don't know if I'm gonna put that there. I mean, look.
Who else do you put in front of it?
Well, I don't think any of these moves are that big because I don't think it puts any of these teams past Golden State. So in my mind, none of these moves are that big. honestly. Like,
San Antonio was on the way to...
to winning game one and losing the series in five or six games. Congrats.
Okay, six games. This is another integral piece that perhaps helps you steal another game or two in that series. Do not underestimate the abilities of Greg Popovich as a head coach.
Not.
Look, Steve Kerr is a great coach, too. Coaching matters, even at the highest level. A lot of people want to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Look at LeBron James, what he's able to do with these coaches who basically, you know, sit on the sidelines and do some things here and there, but mostly it's LeBron calling the shots. One of the reasons why LeBron lost that series, other than the fact that they were outmatched team-wise, was because Tyronn Lue is a shell of the coach that Steve Kerr and even Mike Brown are.
No, yeah, Tyronn Lue is not much of a coach. It's pretty amazing. I don't know. I think coach, you know, Greg Popovich has obviously proven that he's one of the best coaches in the history of sports. I mean, he's been the best NBA coach in our generation. What he's done with the small market team in San Antonio, the five championships, and just 50-win seasons year after year after year after year. I still think San Antonio is the second-best team in the West. I'm not knocking them. I still think they're a legitimate threat to win 60 games next year, despite not having Tony Parker for a while, despite, you know, maybe Manu Ginobili not being there and losing some other guys in free agency. But in my mind, they're still not – no one's on Golden State's level.
That's understandable. Now, I mentioned the Gordon Hayward signing by Boston. Mm-hmm. One of the fallouts from that is Boston now needs to trade away pieces that will become free agents in the next year, and you're seeing that first piece drop in the name of lifetime Longhorn Avery Bradley. It looks like a deal is in place for Boston to send Avery Bradley to Detroit. They get Marcus Morris in return, so they get
nice.
Some front court depth in return, a former Kansas Jayhawk,
yes,
of course, and Avery Bradley. I'm a little disappointed for Avery. He is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league right now. I think he's somebody that could have at least helped Boston this year, but a lot of people are saying, look, you're not just building for this next season. You're building for 2 to 3 years down the road, which is what Boston is trying to do right now, getting something in return for guys who otherwise will be gone after a season.
That's a great point right there. I mean, you heard three names been talking about Boston Celtics players potentially getting traded. You heard Avery Bradley, you heard Marcus Smart, the former Oklahoma State Cowboy,
Jay Crowder.
And you heard Jay Crowder, the former Marquette Golden Eagle and Dallas Mav. You know, Avery Bradley is the best of those three players, no doubt about it. But Avery Bradley has one more year left on his contract. Based off the type of deals these guys are getting this year, you have to assume Avery Bradley is going to be a $20 million a year player. I mean, he's turned into, you know, we always knew how good of a defensive player he was. That's what he's been known for. But the fact that he gives you the ability to put up, you know, 18 to 25 points a night is pretty ridiculous. He's really developed his offensive game. This is a guy who was the number one recruit in the country coming out of high school. Of course, played 1 year at Texas. A lot of Longhorn fans wanted him to stick around. I mean, he was drafted in the 20s in the NBA draft, but has turned himself into a heck of an NBA player. And you're right, Trey. He's about to get a big contract after next season. So it made sense for Boston to get rid of him now. Get rid of that money right now. And if you're not going to re-sign him, might as well get something back in return. Marcus Morris, a really solid wing player. You know, oversized wing, if you will, for the Detroit Pistons the last couple years, but he hated Detroit. He was pretty vocal about wanting to get out of there. Always wanted to play with his brother Markeith in Washington and wherever they were. But
they're closer now.
Yeah, absolutely. He wanted to get out of Detroit, and I think that's a good pickup for Boston, a pretty nice return. And for Avery Bradley, look, Detroit's been a disappointing team, but they've got a couple of pieces in place that they can maybe make some noise with Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson at the point. But it gives him a chance to have a good year, maybe increase his stats a little bit by being on a little bit of a worse team and help get him some money in next year's free agency class.
Now that the gay shoe has dropped, the Rudy Gay shoe has dropped, and he has decided to sign with the San Antonio
with the shoe, man.
Spurs.
We're like the LeVar Ball shoes or something?
What is the next big free agent name that we hear about going from whatever his original team was last year to someplace new?
That's a good question. I mean, I expect the next domino for this year's class is to be not a free agent right now, but I think Carmelo Anthony is going to be on the Houston Rockets at some point within the next week. The Rockets yesterday, Woj bomb, Adrian Wojnarowski now of ESPN tweeted something out saying the Rockets are moving some of their non-guaranteed contracts, trying to clear up some space. I do think Carmelo Anthony is going to be off of the New York Knicks, and I think Houston makes a lot of sense. I think they're looking for one more piece. Now, a lot of people will joke and say, yeah, Carmelo Anthony's not gonna help you a whole lot. But I think the Rockets are looking one more piece to pair up with Chris Paul and James Harden. I think Carmelo Anthony makes a lot of sense to at least try. Once again, that's not putting them above Golden State. It's probably not even putting them above San Antonio. But I do expect that name to move.
That makes them a great preseason team.
Right. But I do
and maybe even regular season to a degree. Terrible postseason team, though.
I did mention this name a little bit earlier, Russell Westbrook, who can opt out of his deal next year. He did sign that extension, if you will, in Oklahoma City that all Thunder fans were super excited about following the Kevin Durant news. But I do think I do think him and Paul George are both headed west to the L.A. Lakers after next year. So
all right,
I think he's
gone. Time to stock the NBA talk. We've hit our NBA quota for the week.
Yeah,
the
for
great
the year.
One is sitting down right now, and we do have to talk to him for just a second. Mr. Bucky Godbolt, sir, how's it going today?
It's going great, man. Everything is good.
Thank you so much for having us out here at Wolf Dancer, Hyatt Lost Pines, the Mullet Open. What number of year is this for the Mullet Open?
Number 17.
17th year of the Mullet Open now, and
yes.
Things are just going as smoothly as I've ever seen them.
It is as smooth. This is as smooth as it's ever been.
I was surprised there wasn't more chaos when I walked in this morning.
No.
People running around. You know,
no.
We helped put some aprons on the tables, the Louis Miller aprons. We have some other things that are happening right now, and a huge list of giveaways as well for the raffle later on.
Yeah, the $5 raffle is loaded like it always is, and, you know, Tito Beverage, who just... I mean, there's $25,000 in Tito stuff here, and I still got six or seven cases at my house. Just in case I started to think about dabbling again, I'm going to tear myself apart.
You're like me. You like having the temptation right there just to know that you can overcome it, that you're stronger than the temptation. I did that with cigarettes back in the day.
Yeah, I'm not stronger than the temptation. I got to get that stuff out. Get that the hell out of my house.
Now,
tell the truth.
You had all this stuff in your house, man. I mean, you've got kayaks here. You've got riding lawnmowers. You've got all kinds of autograph stuff, alcohol. All this stuff was in your house?
6 months of the year, I dedicate my life to doing this stuff, and now doing it for the Refuge Ranch and the Burke Center for Youth. But in 6 months, everything that you see here, I pick it up. I go to pick it up either in the truck, and it stays in my house. It's either in the garage or in the bedrooms.
What, are you sleeping on the TV box?
Dude, I only need one bed.
God.
I only need one bed. But it's a great cause this year. And, you know, for years and years, Trey, we've been doing this, guys. We've been doing it for the Burke Center for Youth, and we'll continue to do that always. But now we've got I think you heard, BK, you were right there when they were talking to Tony from the Refuge Ranch. And you Trey, with a baby girl, and you're going to understand this deal right now with this sex trafficking is it's at your doorstep. It's around your corner. It is everywhere right now. It's the big deal for the cartel and for pimps and everybody else out there right now. They're taking young girls, and they're talking. Tony can tell you about the elementary schools within your neighborhood and the high schools where these girls have been sex trafficking in our neighborhood. You know, you had the head coach from Bowie here. We're talking about these high schools and all over the city that have girls that have been sex trafficked. If they're missing or if they run away from home and they're having problems at home, let me tell you, if they're missing for more than about 20 days, they're being sex trafficked somewhere.
Is there a certain type of girl that they look to target? It doesn't have to do with, like, maybe coming from a broken family or anything like that. If they see somebody that they think that they can take and
somebody they can prey
do sick
upon.
Things to, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Having problems at home, having problems with their dad.
I mean, Tony said
not feeling loved.
Right, they'll just stalk you on social media. They'll see what you're doing, where you're going, and they'll just come find you. They'll try to build a relationship, act like they're your friend, trying to fill the void in your life.
That's what it is. So they gain trust.
Nine years old. I mean, it's
gosh.
Hard. I think next year we're working real hard right now. You know, Jonathan couldn't make it here. I wish he was here, but next year we're working to bring, you know, Ashton Kutcher, Jonathan back, and maybe, I know you may not like it, but the Bieber.
Trying to get the Biebs here?
Yeah,
kidding me? That would be awesome.
Yeah, I know. Social media, what those people can do for you on social media and to help this Refuge Ranch would be just incredible.
No doubt. So what do you think of the turnout so far, man? This what you expected?
See, all the brothers here that I see a year ago, they're all back. Some of them have been here for 17 years.
From day one.
From day one, Trey, when we headed out at Circle C Ranch, when we had a kickoff, and when, as a matter of fact, when we used to have the pre-party was at the Hyatt downtown Austin, and Gary Clark Jr. was the when he came, he sat there with a little amplifier and a guitar, and people said, "Well, who the heck is that?" I even said, "Trey got this kid." I'm like, "Who the hell is he? He's gonna play for Bud Light. That's all he wanted. I'll play for Bud Light."
Nice,
Gary Clark Jr. And
I told you beforehand. I said, "Bucky, this kid is going to be worldwide one day. Trust me. You want to sign him up for the Mullet?"
I could have been his man.
You could have been.
You could have been his mon, man.
I could have been his mon. Signing autographs.
And tell the people what happened when he plugged that guitar into that amp.
People were drinking at the bar, and he plugged that thing in and started, and heads started to turn around and. Everybody, they just stopped paying attention to each other. They just started listening to him play.
Yeah.
And he was up there. His head was all nappy. He had that nappy head back then, too, man. He was skinny, head all nappy. He came in with his raggedy jeans on. He had a stool, an amplifier, and a damn guitar, and he went off. He just went off.
Starting careers with the Mullet Open, man.
So now, you know what I got to do? I got to get Gary Clark Jr. as a part of this to to come back from one of these mullet opens, and now we're talking sex trafficking. I think he's got a brand new baby daughter.
He does.
I need to bring him and get him involved in this and have Gary, he didn't have to play anything, just show up and say hello.
Agreed with that, and Gary is just as good of a musician as he is, he's an even better dude. That's from my time getting to hang out with him, spend time around him. And I personally went to him knowing the cause that the Mullet Open is all about, and like, Gary, I know you're selective in the things that you do, but trust me, hanging out with Bucky and doing something for the Mullet Open, it is a great cause, and it was two great forces coming together that night. And you gave him an interesting payment, though, at the end of that performance as
well.
What
I gave him? Because, you know, that's long ago. Because, you know, I'm 62. I can't remember past last week.
You gave him, like, a couple cases of Bud Light.
Yeah, Bud Lights. He wanted Bud Light.
Now,
that's
didn't you run out of beer the first Mullet Open, too?
First Mullet Open, I think we had, I don't know, some ungodly number, like 162, 170 cases. And I thought that was good for the day. We had a shotgun in the morning and the afternoon.
Right.
Well, at the end of the morning, those dudes had gone through like 160-some cases of beer.
God.
And I had to send Hogan to HEB for the afternoon.
You sent Hogan.
Yeah. So now I use drink tickets. I don't play that anymore. I can't trust these guys.
Well played.
But in 17 Mullet Opens, we've never had anybody kicked off a golf course.
There you go.
Nobody's ever been picked up by the cops. These guys come to play, to pick up the stuff, to win the stuff at the raffle. And then they're on their way, and then we see them again next year. But I think this will be a special one this year, too.
And you've got what? You're giving away a case of beer to what, closest to the pin?
Yeah, everybody.
Every
on
hole?
Team, every team.
Okay.
There's 38 teams. So in that group, there's a given hole at the par three. Whoever's closest to the hole in that foursome comes up, and they get their Bud Light right off the bat.
Very nice.
And I got to thank, you know, Hunter Brown and everybody. There's so many different sponsors that I can thank, but that's why we have them up on the banner and stuff. And it's getting bigger. It's going to get better. But it'll always be these guys. As a matter of fact, we have people right now signing up for next year's Mullet Open.
Already?
Yes.
Are you going to do you've been talking about maybe doing...
Hell no. I know what you're thinking.
Uh-oh. All right, I won't
you're
even
talking
suggest
about two times a day?
Hey, that was your suggestion.
Morning and afternoon.
A couple weeks
no,
ago.
Hell no.
You're done.
No. My house isn't big enough for the stuff.
You got to get a second house, man. Come on.
But this is a good thing. This is, like I said, it's fun. I'm seeing guys that I've seen from the beginning, and then to see some of the new guys that are coming in here, it's a cool thing, and it's a great it. And I think you heard Tony this morning, Trey. You may have heard her this morning. Her story is phenomenal, and we'll get her maybe back this afternoon. Her story won't be as long as what we had the gathering at Jack Allen's. And as a matter of fact, Jack Gilmore from Jack Allen's Kitchen told me I did the plumbing. He's doing the plumbing for the Refuge Ranch, and I said, "You're doing the plumbing?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay." Only to find out that a dude is paying for all the utensils, every refrigerator, every stove, every one of the units at the Refuge Ranch. Jack Gilmore from Jack Allen's Kitchen. That's what he's doing.
So what specifically does Refuge Ranch do? They find these girls who have been sex trafficked and get them rehabilitated to then go back to their families, to become working
all
members
depends.
Of society
it
again?
Mentally they're going to be screwed up forever.
Absolutely.
So you can forget about that. In the United States, in the Texas area alone, there's 79,000 of these girls that have been sex trafficking.
79,000?
And they need places to go. The Refuge Ranch can only facilitate 50. There's 79,000 girls that need a place to go. So you got to start somewhere. And Houston's the number one city for sex trafficking. And we got to talk to Art Acevedo about getting his city in gear and getting in line. Texas is the number one state. And you would think that these young girls come across the border. 79% of them are domestic. They could be your daughters that got kidnapped. They could be, it's domestic that it's going on. But it's what they do now. It's not, the cartel aren't interested in drugs. They're interested in young girls and young boys. And young boys also.
It's scary.
It's really making me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I know. And it's not
this.
Men.
But these sorts of things need to be talked about, though.
Yeah, and it's not always men that are doing things with these women. They are mothers that are selling their daughters to survive. Yes, they are family members that are doing this to survive. It's what's going on in the market now. And as I said, when Tony tells you about the elementary schools in our city right here, that young girls have been sex trafficking, things that have been kept quiet, you'd be amazed. Mm. They're right around your corner, Trey, believe me.
I mean, you hear a number, any number more than zero is a problem. And you hear a number like 79,000 in the state of Texas
alone. And
they
only have 50 beds. This new place is only going to have 50 beds.
Yeah, Tony did say they're hoping to expand on this a little bit and kind of build a couple more of these across the state. But you got to respect and love what they're doing, and we love what you're doing, you know, trying to raise money and get this thing started. Their goal is December to get this thing opened up. And you said they can't even tell people where it is just because of the threat of those sex traffickers, you know, finding people.
Yes. And
sick.
I know. It'll make you sick once you hear a story. I mean, the people on Wednesday, the group that gathered on Wednesday were phenomenal. These were my buddies and some bankers and stuff that came out. When they left after Tony had talked, all these guys, these grown men, talked about, how do we go there? What can we really do? The golf tournament's nice and whatever. How do we physically ourselves get involved? Can we take them to get shoes? And I said, they got to get going first, and we'll figure out things as it goes along. I think one of the things we're going to continue to do, and as you guys have been using the Facebook Live really, really, really well, and what we're going to do is we're going to get people like Ricky Williams to do a Facebook about sex trafficking. We can get we got Gary Clark Jr. to ask a question, and there's Tony answering the question back to get this out that way. We'll try to get about 6 or 7 of those before December.
I still have contacts with Gary. I haven't spoken with Gary in a long time now, but we still do have contacts with Gary. I know people are still in regular touch with him, so you let me know when you want to go down that road.
And I wish, you know, I said Ricky possibly, but you know, Ricky. That's a shot in the dark.
He's on Ricky time.
He's on Ricky time, so that's a shot in the dark.
Has AJ gotten to you yet? Has Ricky arrived?
I don't know. AJ's not answering his phone because as I've called him 20 times. You know how that works. Dad's trying to reach me, so I'm not going to answer the phone.
What are you, about a half hour out of plan? Shotgun, 1 o'clock. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I just say, I don't play. I just say goodbye.
Yeah.
And then
he drives around the golf cart checking on everybody. Dubuck, he's the ultimate host.
That's it, man.
And he's the ultimate host, not just for the Mullet Open, but also here at the Horn. We had Sam Marshall. I forget the cat's name for the book, The Captain Class. We had him on talking about leaders, the type of leader that help glue a place together. Bucky is that, not only for the Mullet Open and Austin as a whole, but he is an important cog in things at the Horn as well.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. You know what? And the thing about it is I got the 104.9 The Horn, and the Nasur family gave a nice donation to the Refuge Ranch on Wednesday.
Oh, that's great.
Sweet. And so
Jason and Kelly are awesome. That
opened up the eyes of them. They were, like, in shock. And they're saying, whatever we need to do, let's start doing it. Let's start pushing forward on this and helping out these young ladies and young men.
So I know the Burke Center for Youth has been around for a long time.
Yes.
We're putting a lot of focus in Refugee Ranch, Refuge Ranch. But mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the Burke Center for the Youth before we hit break.
The Burke Center houses about 25 boys, and they're there 24/7 from about sixth grade to when they turn 18. And, you know, when you turn 18, when you're not a ward of the state, they have to walk you out the door and buy. I mean, it's over with.
Wow.
And now they've just got to building a
sport court?
Not a sport court. They build a housing facility that can have these kids, once they turn 18, that they can go and they can stay at this house on campus where they are right now until they get licenses, so they get cars, so they get jobs. And so we've helped do that, and it's ready. It was ready in April. It can house 4 boys. They only have 1 boy staying who turned 18. But they have to be prepared, because if you worked with these kids since they were sixth grade, and then all of a sudden they turn 18, and you'd send them back, you know what you send them back to, don't you?
Yep.
The same old thing. So now we've got that the house that's there, and it'll come back to me, but I got so many things going on.
Yeah,
but it'll come back to me where these kids now, a transition home. So they have a transition home now. It's built, and it's really spectacular. We've been a part of that. But we've done stuff like sports courts out there. It's a $15,000 sports court. Motorized stuff, so when they have people there, you know, golf carts, so they can take them around, look good and stuff. And these boys need help, too. These guys, through no fault of their own, some of them have been sexually abused by family members. We get a lot of kids out there struggling. We struggle all over the place, the country, the world. But when you got these young kids right here that just don't have, they see nothing in sight for themselves, how are they going to grow up? How are they going to make anything better? When they don't have a chance from the get-go. So that's what we're trying to do, just trying to make it easy. Plus, I don't want them guys to shoot me later on down the road. I don't want them sticking a gun in my face. Seriously.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good
thing. If they feel like they have hope.
A positive upbringing helps out with that.
Yeah, they're not going to pop you sometime or stick your family up. I want them to say, you know what, somebody help me out. I'm going to help the next person out. If they have no hope, you may not have any hope.
It may not never be too late. That's probably the wrong way to put it. That's a little bit cliched, but it's not too late when they are still developing young human beings. Getting them out of a bad situation and like you said, giving them hope.
Well, you know, your dome up there doesn't really fully develop until you're about 20, 22, 23.
Late 20s, too, for some people.
And you know, BK, yeah.
I got to tell them 60s, I guess.
Mine's still developing at 62. Yeah. But there's a lot that's going on, and can you imagine if a young girl or a young boy has been traumatized when he's sixth grade or fifth grade, and you expect his development in his head to ever grow?
Right.
They never get over it. You just don't get over it.
Yep.
Well, that's good
stuff. Thank you, dudes. We've got to get ready.
Hey, yeah, man. Get out of here. Thanks for stopping on.
This is a pleasure.
And thanks for putting this event on, man. It's fun to be a part of for the first time. I'm glad to be here.
I wanted you to stay out here with your girl, with your family and the baby. Next year we're going to do that. You can go do this, go to the Lazy River, come back for the dinner.
It's as long as their godfather will hang out for at least a few minutes in the Lazy River.
I'm the only one go naked in the Lazy River for me. You know me.
I'm sorry, kids.
Are we talking about kids?
Maybe not go naked with my kids in the
Lazy
River.
You're talking about traumatizing kids.
I'm sorry, jumping naked in the river.
Come on, man. I'm sorry, kids.
Thank you so much, Buck. This is a blast.
This is the great Buck you got, Bolts.
Absolutely.
Shotgun a little under half an hour. There's still some food out here from Rudy's. You guys are welcome. Anybody listening out there is welcome to stop by, get some grub, and, of course, Golden Chick. Thanks to them for providing dinner tonight as well.
Great causes being served. You mentioned Golden Chick, Brown Distributing, Cavender's, Loop One, Rudy's, Texas Orthopedics, Longhorn Trophies, Jack Allen's, Audio Visual Consultations, Callaway Golf, Town and Country Leather, amongst others that are helping
like
out
100
today.
More. So thanks to everybody for putting this event on. Thanks to the Buck as well for all that he does. And we're way overdue for a break. So we'll come back. We'll shoot the bull. We'll have some fun on a Friday. Half an hour to go left in the show. It's Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn.
Shooting the bull.
All right. Well, that was a shorty there. Thank you very much for that one, Zach. All kidding.
Is he just canceling all of our sponsors? We're gonna tick some more sponsors off.
Did we already play the sponsorship for Shooting the Bull, Zach? Is there a sponsorship today, or are we just rolling as is, just clunkly as always?
Rolling on as is.
All right. Well,
show.
At about 12:30 every day, we do Shoot the Bull. That involves Brad and I talking sports sometimes. A lot of times it's not really all that sports related, but that's why we do it. It's why we're shooting the bull. What do you got up first today, BK?
I don't have my computer in front of me, so I did read. We were talking about this a little bit. I was filling in for Bucky this morning on B&E so the Buck could get some of this stuff ready for this golf tournament. And there's a story out there, and we'll let Zach, because he's a big soccer fan, back at the studio. There's a Brazilian soccer club that has sacked four players on their team after a video surfaced, went viral from a locker room, a Brazilian soccer club locker room, with all these dudes pretty much pleasuring themselves in a circle, also known as the circle jerk.
Well, there was a double hand Steve Jobs going on as well.
So what, two hands and... There's a video out there, apparently. I'm going to see if I can find this while we're doing this.
I'm just going to go on record and say this, that a double handy, more of a sport than soccer.
Wow.
Agreed?
No, absolutely not.
What? Well, it is a soccer team doing this, so they need some sort of physical activity instead of walking around the pitch for 90 minutes.
That's right.
All right, what do you think? How are you going to defend soccer on this one, Zach?
I can't. I will defend the sport of soccer, but as you can tell from my stuttering, I cannot defend this story.
So what is this? Is this a hazing deal, or are these dudes just doing this for fun? I mean, how does this happen? So all these guys have been fired. Their coach of this Brazilian soccer club released a pretty hilarious statement. He's just like, he said, "When I hit play, I deleted it. I think it's disgusting. Outside business hours, we have nothing to do with the situation. If they want to get drunk, be gay or not, that's their problem. What I have to answer to as president is during a trip, office hours. That's my responsibility. The club is not a keeper of morals and good manners. The only thing we have to answer is the making of the video inside the club dressing room." So,
well, you know what? For all the people that don't have problems with Redskins or Confederate flags or separate water fountains, guess what? People are still hazing in very cruel ways, like what happened way back in the day. You get to keep your old school methods, guys.
Dude,
congratulations.
They're all non-hazing fraternities, all non-hazing sports teams.
Sure.
Come on, it's all clean. All right, I got the video. You want to...
I don't want to see that.
Right, I'm curious. I'm sorry.
I don't want to see myself do that, much less anybody else.
You don't want to see it to yourself. Oh, I'm going to try to turn the sound off because I don't think this is going to be pleasant sounds. Wow, how about that?
Go ahead and give the play-by-play.
The play-by-play is it's just a dude with both of his hands are busy on two separate guys. And he's on his knees, too. So,
all right.
Exciting stuff. That's enough of that story.
Yeah.
But nice job, soccer. You strike again. You're trying to tell me that's a sport? Come on. That's what goes on in the locker rooms out there? It's what Ronaldo and Messi are doing to each other. Come on.
Okay.
You got Neymar biting people's ears off or biting the back of their neck. Whatever.
That's Suarez. Oh, yeah. Come Messi. On. If you're going to insult soccer, get the players
Sorry.
Right.
No, they don't deserve it. They need two names. Why don't they only have one name? What's their first name? They're not real people. You're right. That was Luis Suarez. I'll give him both names. But that's great, man. That's that kind of stuff. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's disgusting. But it gives me a good laugh being a few thousand miles away from all that going on.
You know, we didn't really get into this when it came out earlier in the week, but the Indianapolis Colts had a former member of their offensive line in a podcast interview, I believe it was, state almost matter-of-factly that during Peyton Manning's rookie year in the late 90s, I believe it was 1998, their coaches gave the offensive line hearing aids to where they could hear what was going on in the huddle a little bit better and also mm-hmm. things at the line of scrimmage. Wow. And it's an interesting, unique topic in the world of performance-enhancing drugs, or in this case, performance-enhancing devices. Do you think that is taking
that's a PED?
Gaining a competitive edge to a different and unacceptable level?
Wow, I've never heard of that. Hearing aids for offensive linemen. So I guess they're wearing it on the field to play, right?
Wearing it on the field during away games and hostile environments. Now, also keep in mind, the Colts went 3-13 that year, so it's not like it helped a whole lot.
Interesting. You know, I could see how that's technically a performance-enhancing device, right? But you also hear everything else louder. So if you're on the road, you hear the crowd noise louder. You hear the defensive signals louder. You hear everything else that's going on as being louder. But I understand how that can be seen as a competitive advantage and something the NFL would try to get rid of. That's unique.
NFL hasn't tried to get rid of it yet, as far as I know. Yeah, they haven't come out and made a statement on it.
What if you actually need hearing aids? Like, what if your hearing is not good and you need aids to get to – not hearing aids. I got to make sure we have that. You need hearing aids to get to normal levels of hearing. You know, is that okay? I guess if the NFL hasn't cracked down, that's fine, right?
It must be like certain drugs that are considered PEDs unless you have a prescription from the doctor. So certain ADD, ADHD medications, Adderall is one of those that's included in that list, which is considered an upper under normal circumstances. If a guy actually has attention deficit disorder, he can get the pass and take that Adderall. Perhaps it's the same case. You have to go to a doctor and they have to give you a hearing exam to see if you really are deaf to a certain level. Although, I guess glasses isn't really the same concept.
It's just like those as seen on TV night glasses where you put them on and you're driving and you go from not being able to see a damn thing to being able to see the entire road. Can you wear those like during Sunday night football?
You know what I equate this to? I equate this to the gloves that every wide receiver wears nowadays.
Oh, with the extra stick? The old stick-em that they used to rock back in the day, now they got the gloves that just catches everything.
It helps you catch.
Right.
Like, if you're wearing hearing aids, there's still going to be noises going on, but if it helps you perform just a little bit better, I don't necessarily have that big of an issue with it. But then again, I'm okay with them opening everything up and saying, hey, this is competition. Yeah. Do what you can.
Yeah, it's your life. Take the steroids. You have to deal with all the benefits on your own, man.
That's exactly right. It's a personal decision.
Could you imagine
But until that? Then, certain things are illegal. They should remain illegal. Yeah. You shouldn't do those. Yada, yada, yada.
All right, that's interesting stuff. All right, let me search the internet real quick to try to. Oh God, I just opened up my phone and the video is still playing.
You want to give me more play-by-play?
No, I mean it's only a 10-second video. I saw enough after about 3 seconds.
Give the last 7-second play-by-play.
Nah, I got out of it. I can't look at that ever again. That is that is disgusting. All right, what else we have? You have anything else going on in the world of sports or the world of not sports?
No, let's go ahead and take the break right now because
actually be on time for the first time in the history of our show.
Yeah, be on time for the first time in history, but also we're not only going to go over weekend plans in this final segment, but I am taking a vacation all next week, so we can talk just a little bit more about that in the final segment right here on Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn. Final segment here on Midday with Trey and BK live from the Mullet Open, benefiting the Burke Center for Youth as well as Refuge Ranch. Mm-hmm. Wanted to make sure to get that name correct because they are trying to do something great, and that is rescue these young ladies who have been kidnapped and taken in for sex trafficking, sometimes sold in for sex trafficking, which makes me just as sick. You know, desperate times, unfortunately, for those involved in that, but it's still unacceptable to go down that road. And all the sponsors who are helping out with this today, Loop One, Cavender's Academy, Brown Distributing, Plains Capital, Golden Chick, Oak Hill, Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue, Texas Orthopedics, Longhorn Trophies, Jack Allen's Kitchen, Audio Visual Consultations, Callaway Golf, Town and Country Leather, amongst the hundred or so that have signed up for
Tito's.
That. And Tito's, who is not only handmade vodka, it's world-class vodka, too.
It's delicious, man. I've spent a lot of money on Tito's over the years. Those people are they're good people.
They are good people.
Got to meet some of those involved, and they make a good vodka.
We're getting some response on the Specs text line right now, including Big Peyton Manning. He's got AIDS, hearing AIDS.
Ah, well played. Well played.
Very nicely done by that texter there. Using your hands as a free kick, three free kicks for the next game. And somebody says,
gross.
Wow, that really happened. At least get a lady in there to do it. I don't want a lady in there to do it either. It shouldn't be happening in the locker
more
room.
Exciting.
No, it should not be happening.
It's locker room talk, man. Come on.
Infertile
Everybody's
Myrtle,
doing it these days.
Infertile Myrtle says there's a special place in hell for sex traffickers. I agree with that. Spurs fan Aaron is convinced that he is guaranteeing that the Spurs will beat the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals next year if the Warriors don't hurt Kawhi again on purpose.
Hurt him on purpose. That's exactly what happened. He hurt him
on purpose. Jaja's dirty. Spurs have done dirty things like that over the years, too, I have to say.
Don't forget that Bruce Bowen, Spurs fans. That was the dirtiest player in the NBA for many of years. And, yes, Zaza Pachulia is a dirty player, but what he did is done by many of players. And, by the way, later in that series, wasn't it LaMarcus Aldridge who tried to do the same thing to Kevin Durant? Big guys do that to little guys all the time. It's unfortunate, believe me. I would have loved to see a fully healthy Spurs squad with Tony Parker as well, who, of course, didn't play in that series against that fully loaded Golden State Warriors squad. I had Golden State in six before Kawhi got hurt, you know, even if San Antonio won game one, which they clearly would have done. I mean, they were up by, what, 25, as much as 25 before Kawhi Leonard got hurt. But, you know, someone's got to take down Golden State because, in my mind, there's no moves that have been made in this offseason and nothing that can be done over the next few weeks, next few months, I guess, till the season begins to make me think that we are not going to have part four of Golden State and Cleveland in the NBA Finals.
You and I will continue to talk about the NBA to a degree, and the masses still won't really watch it until it gets to the Western Conference, if not the NBA Finals altogether. Hair of the Dog says, earlier in the show I got into it with a couple of texters. One of them called me a snowflake for my stance on
snowflake.
The Redskins' nickname. We also talked about the Rudy Gay shoe dropping. Somebody, Hair of the Dog says, snowflake and the gay shoe. That should be the official name of this show.
What is your computer doing right there?
My computer is busted up.
Man, that's a mess. Well, who's the gay shoe? I mean, you're the snowflake and you're the gay shoe.
No, you're the gay shoe.
Why am I the gay shoe? My
because
shoes are great.
Your shoes are happy, man.
Oh, okay. That kind of gay.
Gay means multiple things. It's like
you
red
did
skin.
Give me the homogenized milk or whatever the other day. The homo milk. Why you give me the homo
the
milk?
The homogenized milk. That's how you pronounce it.
I think
it's
you're just changing that word to try to spare me, man. What are you trying to say?
It's homogenized. I know how to say these things. I have to know how to say these things. I advertise myself as a foodie just like you do, so I have to represent.
I told you. I went full foodie mode last night at Popeyes.
That's...
Come on.
Popeyes is a great place, but
phenomenal.
You did not go full foodie mode.
What do you
went
mean?
Full glutton mode.
So we walked in there, my buddy and I, and it was National Fried Chicken Day, and what better place to get fried chicken in the entire world than Popeyes? I mean, that's my dad's favorite restaurant. He passed that along, I think, genetically to me. That place is delicious. And we walk, and right by the register, a little sign, manager special, 8-piece dark meat, $4.99, $5. So four thighs, four legs, we got that, of course. No, we each got our own. Three.
I'm going to have to question the quality of that chicken.
Delicious, phenomenal. It's Popeyes. The
Trey,
best
do you want to tell him what manager's special actually means?
What, it's from the night before, from 3 days old? I don't care. You guys know what I eat.
Fill him in, Zach.
Like food from 6 days ago. What, was it on the ground? Who cares?
Yeah, manager's special usually is the kind of food that might not be as fresh as it needs to be.
Dude, you guys, just because y'all eat salads with kale and lettuce and mushrooms and other veggies in there, doesn't mean you need to be ripping the good food that I eat, all right?
What that is that is the employees in the back engaging in double
what are they doing, Brazilian?
Hand Steve Jobs before preparing that chicken. That's a manager's special
They do some great – they have some great special sauce on there. So wherever it comes from, then whatever Popeye's – I'm kidding. There's no sauce there. Come on.
Ew.
Gravy?
So gross.
No gravy.
No gravy
just
on the
Cajun
potatoes
sparkly.
And biscuits?
Oh, the it was the brown gravy.
Oh,
so unless,
brown
gravy.
Was it brown? Did they they put some brown food coloring in there?
Ease up. I know you're into the double handy game, apparently, but come on, that's gross. So I went to Popeyes. We got one of those, right, eight-piece. We just got our own three-piece dinner, right? So
on top of that.
On top of that.
So and they 11 threw in, pieces each.
And they threw in, no, 11, no, we shared the manager special.
Okay.
So we had a total, and they threw in two extra pieces, so we had a total of 16. So 8 pieces each,
that's
two breasts,
all right.
3 legs, 3 thighs. What does that equal? That's 8, right? 2 plus 5.
I stopped paying
8.
Attention.
And then 3 large sides and 5 biscuits amongst 2 people. Dude, we couldn't move. I was struggling to get out of there, but it was phenomenal. I went home. I went straight to bed. I couldn't go anywhere.
Didn't go out after
it was like
that.
8:30. I couldn't move. It was unbelievable.
There's no room in the belly
no,
for any drinks
no,
after that.
No, it was delicious. Had to celebrate National Fried Chicken Day, and that means I'm a foodie, I think, eating all that good food.
It means you're something. It means you're an American.
Yeah, I'm proud to be one, let me tell you.
Proud to be. And what's going on with you this weekend, BK?
I'm still trying to recover from this Popeyes, I'll be honest.
That and the habanero from 2 days
and
ago.
And the habanero, which, by the way, once again, I will say.
No fire in the
went
hole.
Out yesterday, no problem at all. I'm telling you, my digestive system gets put in through a lot more than the fire in the bungalow, whatever people are calling it out there. So, no problems there. What am I doing this weekend? I don't know. I'm sure I'll hit my favorite place in the entire world, 6th Street, a couple of times.
Dirty?
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I always prefer Dirty 6th, but I got friends who think they're classy and stuff now that they got a college degree, and then I'll go to West 6th, which I don't know how much classier that really
they
is.
They feel so much more grown
right,
up
exactly.
On
West 6th. They feel so much more grown up
just
out
paying
there.
Paying more for your drinks.
So, exactly. Seriously.
But you're also having to deal with less fights on the streets.
Which
and
is, you know, I like
horses.
The fights on the streets and the police
you
on
do.
Horses and not spending as much money. So, to me, that's right
okay.
up my alley. I like the trash talk. I always have the phone ready to get something for World Star Hip Hop.
I was about to say, well, you need to video blitz the next fight that you see break out on Dirty 6.
You're right. You're right. I absolutely do. I know my little sister has been going to camp in Wimberley, Wimberley, Texas, of course, mm-hmm. right outside of Austin. And I think my parents are coming in town and going to pick her up at some point this weekend. So I'll probably have dinner with them at some point. But outside of that, it's the last Major League Baseball weekend before the All-Star break. You're going out of town at a really bad time for me. Because I don't know what the hell I'm going to talk about next week. Because there's going to be no baseball going on, which is all that we do have
that.
Going on. I guess there's going to be SEC media days, which everybody in Austin loves the SEC.
I'm trying to help out with guests, though. We may have Sarah Tiana in for the entire hour two on Thursday. She's going to be in town at Cap City Wednesday through Saturday.
Cool.
Please make sure to check her out. She's hilarious. Steve Trevino told a great story about her a little bit earlier. Steve Trevino is a Texas boy, was out in L.A. for a while, just moved back to Texas, lives in New Braunfels. He's doing a couple sets tonight and tomorrow night mm-hmm. at Cap City. There's still tickets available for the 10:30 shows. But Sarah Tiana is a huge sports fan on top of being a really funny comedian.
And a Falcons fan, too. I'm excited to talk a little trash to her.
Falcons fan. I may actually have to call in during that interview, assuming that it happens, because she told a joke on our show a month or so ago that I laughed at, didn't fully understand, but I heard her on a different podcast, and I now understand the context of that joke, the background of that joke, so I'll have to ask her about that.
That's my girl,
man.
Don't be trying to make moves on my girl.
She's got a dude already. She's got a guy who works in sports, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, well, she hasn't met me yet, so anything's up for grabs. I mean, just because there's a goalie doesn't mean I can't score. Those are that's the rules of the game, my friend. All right, what about you, man? You're headed off to Chicago early tomorrow morning, if I'm not mistaken, or at some point tomorrow.
We have a flight that leaves at about 10 in the morning tomorrow.
And you're going to be gone all week.
Going to be gone all week. We're gone Saturday to Saturday. We get in the early afternoon to Chicago. We are getting the rental car, stopping at the grocery store to get the necessary goods, and then heading to Justine's dad's place. My wife's family all lives there, so we're
nice.
Going to spend a lot of time with them. We will be spending about 3 nights in the city, so Crystal Lake is about an hour outside of Chicago, depending on what traffic is like. But on Sunday morning, really early, I'm going to get up, take the train into the city, go play volleyball on the beach.
Come
there.
Come on.
People hear beach
what
in Chicago, and they know that it's on Lake Michigan, and you don't assume that it is as cool as it actually is when you go there. So the beach, Oak Street, North Avenue, even all the way up to Montrose, it's more like an ocean beach than it is a lake beach. It's a really cool scene. I got a ton of friends who play volleyball there, so we're going to get together early Sunday morning. And after that, I'm going to kick around the city for 3 days. The wife and kids will join me starting on Monday. We're going to do the touristy thing. So we have a Chicago book at home that's a cardboard book that we read for the kids pretty much every night.
Of course.
And it has all
they need
the
to be ingrained in Chicago knowledge.
Well, Vivian was born in Chicago, so she needs to know about the place that she was born. But it has a lot of the icons from around the city, and she wants to see those things. She wants to see the Bean in Millennial Park. She wants to see the Lions outside of the Art Institute.
The big bean?
The metallic bean that you can see the reflection in?
Yeah, it's not a race thing. There's the big bean that's out there, yeah.
What's racist about bean?
I thought you meant beans. Isn't there like a huge thing of beans out there? Like a whole... All right, forget it. I'm done.
It looks like a bedpan. People call it the Bean in Millennial Park as well.
Millennium Park.
God, why do I keep saying Millennial Park? I've said that word too much now. It's Millennium Park.
There it is.
Millennium Park. And we're also going to visit some of our old places and our old stomping grounds of Wicker Park Ukrainian Village, too. So I'm really excited about it. May try to hit up a Chicago farmers market after volleyball on Sunday. But other than that, it's just going to be a lot of fun of enjoying really good food. We're going to go to Avec one night, which is my favorite place to eat on the planet. Also going to hit up Coal Fire Pizza, which is the best Neapolitan pizza outside of Italy. And there are a couple of places that we have planned for as well.
You're pretty high on Chicago, man.
They think they got
the best restaurant ever, the best pizza ever outside of Italy.
I said mine. People have different opinions on things. I have lots of reasons for loving places, including the memories that I've created from going there time and again.
There you go. Well, have fun out there, man.
Appreciate
it,
brother.
We're going to miss you.
Anything else going on next week?
I have no idea, but we'll figure something out. I'm going to try to get the Buck Studies willing to come on a show. I'm going to ask Chad and Kevin to even get on a show. I might get my man Stu Myrick to come on a show.
Right.
We'll figure something out next week, but we got to go.
Cool.
We got to go. Live from the Mullet Open. We're out of here. From my man back at the studio, Zach Christo, the production wizard, the Greek freak. From my man sitting next to me, the Sultan of Cynicism, the Vomit King, Trey Elling. I am BK. I will be back to get it popping. Same time on Monday. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here. Bye.